Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, July 24, 2022, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls, we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, Romans 5:1, as we have exegeted, therefore, because we were justified by faith, that is, imputed with the righteousness from God and declared to be righteous, we have peace with God. This is reconciliation, the removal of the barrier between God and man by the Lord Jesus Christ's work on the cross through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this brought us into a study of the doctrine of peace. The word peace is used five different ways in the God-breathed scriptures, and we have studied four of those, and now we come to category number five, world peace. Category number five, world peace. Now the first thing you need to know, point one, is that our Lord Jesus Christ has a title. His title is the Prince of Peace. That's very important. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Two, there will be no world peace until the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns at the second advent and establishes his kingdom here on earth. The Lord Jesus Christ right now is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He is going to return. The second coming of Christ, the second advent of Christ, he will return at the end of the tribulation period, and he will establish his kingdom on earth. And he will rule. The Lord Jesus Christ will rule planet earth for 1,000 years, and there will be world peace then. Only then. Now we got all of the goofies and liberals and socialists and everything else out there operating and think that you elect me and we're going to have world peace. No, there will be no world peace on this earth until the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, returns at the second advent. And therefore, until he returns, there will be wars and rumors of wars all the way until the time that he returns. He is going to come back. He is going to return. And there will be world peace. And when he does, there will be no military, no need for it. World peace. No army, no navy, no air force, no marine corps, no coast guard. There will be nobody will train for war during that 1,000 years. There will be world peace in the millennial kingdom. But not until the Prince of Peace comes back. He's the key. So what does that mean? That means until he comes back, we have to be prepared. Prepared for war. We need to have a strong military. We can't be cutting out all of the funds for the military. And what will happen then is we will be the country that is attacked because we will be so weak. And there are a lot of evil nations out there that would love to destroy the United States of America. So since there will not be world peace until the Prince of Peace returns, we need to be prepared for peace by having a strong military. So again, point two. There will be no world peace until the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns at the second advent and establishes his kingdom on earth. Turn over to Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Great passage, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. As we start out in verse 6, we have the Messiah. We learn about the Messiah, the hypostatic union of the Messiah, that he will be true humanity and undiminished deity, united in one person forever. Under two titles here. For unto us a child is born. That is the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas. That is Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, taking on true humanity. For unto us a child is born. So he is true humanity. And then unto us a son is given. The eternal Son of God is given. There's the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has always been the eternal Son of God. So the Messiah is made up of undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. And we have that here. Unto us a child is born, the incarnation and virgin birth of Christ, and unto us the Son is given, the eternal Son of God, sent from heaven by the Father. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonder Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is one of his titles, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of the government, of his government, and peace, this is world peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne. When he comes back at the second advent, he will be rule from David's throne. He is the Son of David in his true humanity, and he will rule planet Earth from Israel and over his kingdom. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So there will be no world peace until the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns at the second advent and establishes his kingdom on earth. Three, until the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, there will be wars, hot wars, and rumors of wars, cold wars, but there will be no world peace until Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent. Until the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, there will be wars, hot wars, and rumors of wars, cold wars, but there will be no world peace. Turn over to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And the Lord Jesus Christ taught this in a Bible class. Those of you who have a red letter edition, you have lots of red letters. Jesus Christ is teaching. Matthew 24, we'll start at verse 3. Matthew 24, 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Verse 4. Jesus answered, watch out. Beware that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars, hot wars, and rumors of wars, cold wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. These things must happen. They must happen. They're going to happen. All the way up till the time when Christ comes back. These things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of birth pangs. So Jesus Christ makes it very clear. There's going to be wars, hot wars, rumors of war, cold wars, all the way until he comes back, the Prince of Peace, at the second advent. Four, therefore, the client nation to God, i.e., right now, the United States of America, we are the client nation to God. Therefore, the client nation to God must be constantly prepared for war by having a strong and prepared military. Therefore, the client nation to God must be constantly prepared for war by having a strong and well-prepared military. Five. World peace will be the result of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, ruling planet Earth in the millennial kingdom following his second advent. It'll be 1,000 years of world peace. No wars anywhere, no military. Perfect righteousness, perfect justice on planet Earth for 1,000 years after our Lord Jesus Christ returns. So world peace will be the result of the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling planet Earth in the millennial kingdom following the second advent. Turn over to Micah. Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4. In Micah 4 verses 1 through 8, we have the glories of the millennial kingdom. When following the second advent of Christ and Jesus Christ ruling on planet Earth for 1,000 years. And by the way, ruling planet Earth for 1,000 years in perfect environment. Perfect environment. Our planet is not going to be destroyed by global warming. It's not going to be. The biggest problem is they got all these people with a lot of hot air talking. They're not saying anything, but they are full of hot air. That is a total lie. Jesus Christ will return. He will rule for 1,000 years. Perfect environment. There will be great prosperity, great health. And the Old Testament has a lot to prophesy and tell about this. So we have the glories of the kingdom, chapter 4, 1 through 8. Look at verse 3. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Now the same thing is reiterated in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. I'll let you look that up when you go home and go over these passages. Point 6. The cosmic believer, the believer in reversionism, living in Satan's cosmic system, is constantly seeking world peace and security when there is no peace. The cosmic believer, the reversionist living in Satan's cosmic system, is constantly seeking world peace and security when there is no peace. Turn over to Ezekiel 13. Ezekiel 13. Ezekiel 13, verse 10. Because they lead my people astray, saying, peace, when there is no peace. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Well, look at verse 14. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. That is, what it's saying is, they have alleged to solve the problems of my people. And what are they saying? Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. And then over in Jeremiah 8. Again, they allege to solve the problems of my people. Verse 11, they dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Seven. Those under the leadership of the Antichrist. We're living in the church age. The church age will end with the rapture. Following the rapture, the Antichrist will come on the scene, and that last 7 years in the Bible is called the tribulation period. Most people call it the tribulation period. It's the 70th week of Daniel. And the 70th week of Daniel is a 7 year period, the tribulation period, made up of two parts. The first part, everybody is quite impressed with the Antichrist because he will seem to have provided peace and safety throughout the world. Halfway through the tribulation period, the Antichrist will declare himself to be God, the abomination of desolation, and that will take place in the temple in Jerusalem, and he will declare himself to be God, and he will demand everybody worship him as God. And that's the last 3.5 years. That's what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. Now, those under the leadership of the Antichrist will be promoting peace and safety during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. But sudden destruction will come upon them. The last 3.5 years, the Great Tribulation. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3. So let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5. Those under the leadership of the Antichrist, this is in the tribulation. We're in the church age. We're not going to go through the tribulation. The rapture will take place. All believers will be removed from the earth. The Antichrist will come on the scene. This is the tribulation. It's a 7-year period. Jesus Christ returns at the end of the tribulation and establishes his kingdom on earth. 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's start at verse 2. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, peace and safety. That's the first 3.5 years. That's the Antichrist. And everybody in the world is going to be very impressed with this Antichrist. He seems to be solving all the world problems. While people are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come on them suddenly. This is the last half of the tribulation, the Great Tribulation. Then destruction will come upon them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. All right, so there we go with what the God-breathed scriptures have to teach about peace. 5 different categories of peace. We've gone through them all. So Romans 5 verse 1 again says, therefore, because we were justified by faith, we have peace with God. Reconciliation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the first result of justification in Romans 5, 1 through 5. Now that brings us to Romans 5, 2. And in Romans 5, 2, we have result number 2 and result number 3 of justification in Romans 5, 2. Result number 2 is we have access into the presence of the living and true God. How awesome is that? Not only do we have peace with God, reconciliation, the removal of the barrier between God and man, but we have access into the presence of the living and true God. Result number 2. By whom also we have access by faith. This is the prepositional phrase dia plus the genitive singular of the relative pronoun host plus the conjunction chi plus the perfect active indicative of echo plus the accusative singular of prosagoge with the definite article plus the dative singular of pistis. Dia plus the genitive. And you being the enlightened congregation, you know. Dia plus the genitive means instrumentality, by means of, or if it's a person, by agency of. That's dia plus the genitive. So this is, we have a person, by the agency of whom, or through whom, and then we have the, who is the whom, who is the agent, the relative pronoun hosts. Host means whom, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the conjunction chi, and this is an adjunctive chi. K-A-I. Adjunctive chi is translated also. It introduces result number two of justification. Result number one, peace with God, reconciliation. Result number two of justification, access into the presence of the living and true God. And then the verb echo. E-C-H long O. Echo. And echo is the verb that means to have and to hold, to possess, to obtain. And we have obtained, what have we obtained? We have obtained prosagoge. That's P-R-O-S-A-G, long O, G, long E. Prosagoge. All right, a couple of things. Prosagoge literally means approach or access. Literally, it means approach or access. It's a compound, point two, it's a compound word made up of the preposition pros, which is, you should have this now, face to face with. And the verb ago, which means to bring. So it's a compound word made up of the preposition pros, face to face with, and the verb ago, to bring. Three, so prosagoge means to bring face to face with someone. To bring face to face with someone. Or access into the presence of someone. Now this goes all the way back the 5th century B.C. in the Cyropaedia of Xenophon in the 5th century B.C. This word was used in reference to access to Cyrus for an audience, to have the right to have access before Cyrus for an audience. Four. Prosagoge, therefore, means approaching someone greater than you are. Approaching someone greater than you are, or coming into the presence of someone who is greater than you are. That's prosagoge. Approaching someone greater than you are, coming into the presence of someone who is greater than you are. Five, the second result of justification is that we have obtained access into the presence of the living and true God. How awesome is that? The second result of justification is that we have obtained access into the presence of the living and true God. Six, the second result of justification is access to God, and therefore a personal relationship with the living and true God. The result of justification by faith, faith in Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. The result, not only peace with God, reconciliation, the removal of the barrier, but you have access to God, a personal relationship with the living and true God. That's the best. That is absolutely the best. Through simple faith in Jesus Christ, you have access to God, a personal relationship with the living and true God. Seven, Paul is thinking of access into the presence of God as a place of grace, a place of grace in which we stand forever and ever and ever. Paul is thinking of access into the presence of God as a place of grace, a place of grace in which we stand forever and ever. Five, no, not five, I just gave you seven. I flunked. I was not a math major. I was an English major. The dative of pistis is the dative of means, by means of faith. The mechanics of salvation and justification is by means of faith in Jesus Christ. By the agency of whom, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have also obtained access into the presence of the living and true God by means of faith in Jesus Christ. That's the mechanics of justification. Result number two, access into the presence of God, a personal relationship with the living and true God forever and ever and ever. All right? With our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and matchless grace. We thank you for the privilege of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.